Amen. All right, let's look here at Romans chapter 4, starting reading. I'll start reading at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore, it's a faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. To all the seed, yes. Not only to that which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, I want to take a moment again and share that with you out of the Amplified Translation. And here's what it said. It says in verse 16 that therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith, in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. Now, that's a powerful scripture. Now, in this, we are about to wrap up this idea about training for reigning, and in this section we're calling taking ownership, or I call it taking delivery. If you have a car, they prep a car, you have to take delivery. If you have an airplane, you sell an airplane, you take delivery, you get it all ready, or whatever have you. But we have to take possession. We have to receive what God has for us. And I've got some notes to myself. I just want to cover this. The church, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is kind of like that golf club thing. When he says that, the tendency is to see this as a church that's competing with the devil. Now, when I say that, I mean, you know, we've heard the expression church versus state. And the tendency is to bring the church down to the level of a state, whereas the church is so much higher than a state. Matter of fact, if it weren't for the church, there'd be no state. Amen. And so now what we got to do is take the church and put it back up there where the church is supposed to be. And matter of fact, I don't want you to turn to the scripture. I just want to refer to it. And this is found in Psalm 66. And it says this in verse 3. He says, He said, how terrible are thy works, O God. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves to thee. The greatness of thy power. This greatness of thy power that he's talking about, you remember over in Ephesians, he said that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the greatness of his power to them who believe. This power that he's talking about here is power that has never been seen here in this earth. This is a power that will fix anything. This is a power that will reverse any curse. This is a power, I put something down here. The devil knows you, as this church, the church now, can annihilate any situation on earth. Folks, that's the kind of thing that's worth meditating on. Now, remember what happens now in this. When you just take notes down and you don't look at them anymore, that's called theology. Got it? We're talking about Christianity. We're talking about something that the life of God is in you. And for the life of God to come in you and raise up in you, you've got to get his word. In his word is life. And that life comes inside of you. As you meditate it, it and you become one. And so what you have to do is you have to meditate these truths, because you got to see it from his level of golf club and not from your level. And you can't do that without meditation. You can't do that without the Spirit of God showing it to you through you meditating the Word of God. That's what it does. And so it transforms your belief, the way you see things. Believing is seeing. And so here, this word church is so powerful. And over here it says, For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. His seed. The seed, the Bible says, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. So what he promised Abraham, he promised you. Got it? So you are a joint heir with Christ. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Turn over to Romans chapter 8, please. I'm going on, but I'm going to cover this right here, so you may as well just get that look off your face. Look what it says in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of who? God. And come on, join heirs with Christ. Now, what is an heir? Somebody. Someone that inherits something. So, this Bible here is the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. He died, rose again, now seated at the right hand of the Father to probate this will for us. He's the one that's making sure that we get all the inheritance that God has for us. And he wants us to represent God to the world. He wants, boy, let me, okay, inshallah. So, you were born royalty. You were born royalty. Say amen to that. You were born royalty. See, now you got to take that and you got to take it home. And you got to take it home and you got to check it out, write that down, let's go and just meditate that. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, he's going to take you to another scripture and you're going to see another scripture. Yeah, praise God. And pretty soon, while you're looking at that, you're going to become like that. Yes. Say amen to that. Yes. And remember what we said now, that the possessions that you get and possess, these things come in proportion to your new identity. So you got to change your identity to go in there to get what God has for you, because a grasshopper can't go in there to get that. And what the enemy has tried to do is sow a grasshopper image in most of us so that we cannot go in and possess what God says really belongs to us. Say amen to that. So we call this taking ownership. We're training for reigning and call it taking ownership. Now, what we said also is there's a word called potential. Potential. Now, what is potential? We said it's hidden abilities, and it's something that you're capable of being or becoming. And so you have potential on the inside of you. It's hidden. And God put it on the inside of you when you were born again. So now God knows what your potential is. You may not know. The educational system doesn't know, but God knows. And it is determined by the one who made you. So God knows what he made you for, and he knows what he made and put inside of you. So now in this, God then leads us into places where it places a demand on our potential. Because demand must be placed on potential in order for potential to be released. So now when we run upon a problem, then we have to understand that we have the problem solver inside of us. There was virtually no limit to what Adam could do. And there's virtually no limit to what you can do if you're connected up with the one who does it through you. Glory to God. So now, as we look at this, one of the ways that God has of raising up his people is through problem solving. That his people come and there's a problem, and his people come and have this answer inside of them, of which when it's given, the people see that this person is the right person for the job or whatever have you, and it begins to raise you up. So I'm just saying that the tendency that we had was to run from problems. But think about it. That's the way most people make a lot of money. They just do things that other folk not willing to do. They solve problems many times instead of running from them, and all of a sudden they're giving you a way that you can start your business on something called an internet, and you can start it in a month, and in 1 year you can be global and doing business all over the world. I'm just saying there are things that can happen in problem solving, and if we take a whole nother attitude about the problems that come to us. And also we said about this word potential. We said that you move from one level to another. And what we said many times is you have to shift. You have to be willing to leave one level to go to another. In other words, there has to be a death in one level for there to be life in another level. And so we've got to know that there is a level of greatness that God has for us and has in our future, and He wants to get that to be manifested outside in our lives. So we're saying here that 1 Samuel chapter 18, the Bible talks about Saul had slayed his thousands, but David had slayed 10,000. And my point to you is that many times what happens is, Lord have mercy, we don't think we can go any further than other people have gone. And so what we do is we tend to play everything pretty close to the vest and not attempt anything that has any degree of risk to it. And so what we have to understand is that in those situations, there's a new level of demand that can be placed on our potential, that our potential will be suitable to be able to solve the problems and move us to another dimension. Now, pictures of your past. Now, thank God for the past. Thank God for history. But that's His story. And what you need to do is get God's story and understand that God has a plan for your life and that your memory was never meant to be bigger than your imagination. So what we want to do is make sure that we have something that is reflecting the future. And in my life, even as much as yesterday, I took my, there's a bookshelf that's in front of me in my study, and I took it and rearranged some things on the shelf, and I rearranged it so when I come up out of the Word of God, I look forward and I see my future. You see, I'm just saying, you know, what are you believing for? Hang it up, you know, put it up in the house. I'm just saying that these are faith props. These are things that are the same thing that Jacob used when he put the those sticks in the trough here for the cattle to come when they came to drink to mate. So I'm just saying these things God has used and is using today so that we can get past some of the bondages and boundaries that are in our lives. Now, what we also talked about is the fact of Matthew chapter 15. Let's go there, please. Matthew chapter 15. Over in Matthew chapter 15, this is very interesting. He talks about blind leaders. Blind leaders. Now, you know, I have found that there are folk that don't want you to go any further than them. Now that's a sad commentary, especially among church folk, but I have to call it like it is. They don't want you to go any further than them. And what you can't do is you cannot look to them for much encouragement. Don't make me preach here, I didn't plan to go this way. You see, because they didn't think of it, it's almost like you shouldn't have thought of it either. And what you've got to do is you've got to cut yourself loose from many sometimes toxic relationships that will not want to release you into your destiny that God has for you. Say amen to that. Now, I don't care if you outdo me, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to get up pretty early to do it. But my point to you is thank God for you. Amen. But let me tell you something. There are people that don't want you to go any further. And I'm telling you, they got angry with Jesus because of the operation of his ministry, of how he moved past them in terms of love, in terms of demonstration and power, in terms of the knowledge of the scriptures and so forth. Look at verse 12. Then came his disciples and said to him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be what? Shall be rooted up." All right, turn back to Proverbs now, chapter 4, please. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Hallelujah. All right, in Proverbs chapter 4, now you've been born royalty. You know that, don't you? I said you have been born royalty. All right, look what Proverbs chapter 4, he says this in verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the what of life? Are the issues of life." So out of your heart are the issues of life. You look that up in the Proverbs, in the concordance, it'll tell you boundaries or borders. So out of your heart are the boundaries and the borders of your life. So you're going to have to guard your heart, because whatever's in your heart sets a boundary in your life. In other words, it creates something called a tree or a belief system. And that belief system is going to either keep you in line with what you believe, or it's not going to let you go any further than the boundary that it's expressed. So it's inside of you right now. So what you have to do is realize that God is constantly moving boundaries in your life. He is constantly, why? Because you've been almost designed to, you created with unlimited potential. That God can do much more than you think he can do. Now, I've just been meditating this, and just show you some of the things that have come up. Now, I said meditate because we're going to go there in a minute. But some of the things that have come up, and I was looking at the scriptures and thinking about them and thinking about you and I and what we have. Now, what you have as far as wealth, you are extremely rich. Now, I know people say, "Oh, he's talking about money again." Well, you just don't listen to me while I talk about this. You are extremely rich. That's what you are right now. You are extreme. You're not going to be. You already are. I said you've been born royal. See, you've been born into a family that is a very, very wealthy family. Say amen to that. And your what's been laid up for you as your inheritance is tremendous. Can I say this? Phenomenal. It is phenomenal. It has been laid up for you. Now, your thinking coming from that old curse-based system has maybe thought limited, because you can't see it in the natural, but you think it's not there. But that's the new life that you have just come into. And that what you see is not all there is. And your way of operating is different from the way that you operated before you had this new life. It's totally different in the way, here's what I said, God. Now understand, church. While I'm going to church. Okay, all right, see, all right, that, okay. Now, I'm saying that the church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. And through the church will come mighty acts. These are acts that this kind of power that is going to be displayed in this group called the church had never been displayed before. This is the kind of power that makes folks' limbs grow back. Boy, you got to hear what I'm saying, man. You got to hear what I'm saying. You see, all we had trees planted, and the tree was in us that basically if we felt sick, then we'd go to the medicine cabinet, or if it's sick enough, we go to the hospital. But we'd call back from the hospital and say, y'all pray for me. Well, why didn't you go to James chapter 5, where it says, is any among you sick? Let him first call for the elders of the church. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying because of what's been planted in us, it's leading us many times in a way that we were led before we had God, before we had the Father. And so we hadn't used that. So our boundary was there. And what we have to do now is we got to move these boundaries, because other than that, it's going to be the blind leaders of the blind. And what's inside of us has blinded our eyes. Your outlook is based on what you're looking out from. See, I can look at some glass and I'll say, that's half full. Somebody else will look at it and say, that's half empty. Well, see, that's their outlook. Say amen to that. So I'm continuing to meditate this now. And we got a deficit, or we have a debt in this nation of what? A few trillion dollars or whatever it is. And God said to me, now this is me meditating his word, that well, the church now remember what the Bible said. It says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Didn't it say that? All right. Now, this kind of debt for a church, for a country to be in this kind of debt, is not the work of God. I mean, this, if you think so, then I'm thinking different than you. And my point to you is that the church can annihilate that debt. The church can annihilate that debt. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about the church universal. I'm talking about this church. See? Now, wait a minute. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Let me know when you get there. In Proverbs chapter 23, and look at verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, come on, so is he. So until we begin to think that way, now understand what Jesus did. He said he had the people there, and he had been teaching them, and the disciples said, now send him away. They've been with us three days, and they've had nothing to eat. Let them go, because they need to go get something to eat. He said, you feed them. See, you feed them. Now, what is he doing? He's placing a demand on their potential. You feed them. You take care of them. You pay her tuition. Come on, help me now, help me now. See, and we see that as a problem. That's only because of how our minds have been twisted with the wrong image. I'm going to keep talking about it, because we're going to do it. Turn to Psalm chapter 82. Look at 82. I said training for what? Reigning. That means you take care of the nations. That doesn't mean you get up there talking about how big I am. So no. It means that you go in there and annihilate that disease. And we can do it. But it starts with our shifting. We've got to allow that old image to die so that that new image can live. And we've got to be willing that anybody that's standing in the way, anything that's trying to hinder us from our destiny, anything that's trying to hold us back and talk us out of our inheritance as joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we've got to be willing to put it behind us. That ain't worth it. Say amen to that. Look what he said here. Verse 1, God said to the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods. How long have you judged unjustly, except the person, the wicked? How long are you going to accept what's going on here? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Defend the poor and fatherless. Deliver the poor. How do you deliver the poor? I give you three guesses. The first two don't count. How do you deliver the poor? One, you got to feed them. Say amen to this. Then you got to get them the gospel. Am I right about it? I got to deliver the poor. And that's why some of these other religions are making inroads into the nations in Africa and so forth, because they're taking care of the poor. They're getting a lot of money, and they're helping these people, and they're building plants, and they said, you can't work here unless you join our religion. Now, we're sitting up having church. Meanwhile, we are the strongest, most powerful institution in the world ever. And watch this. All we got to do is speak. We can speak things in the earth and speak things off the earth. But you cannot move into that inheritance without some understanding of your new identity. You have the same thing in you as God has in him. Say amen to that. Your limit is God. I'm going to say something, and if you take it the wrong way, you'll miss me. Whatever he can do, I can do. Say amen to that. Because I am an extension of Almighty God. And this has not been preached in church, and because the seed has not been sown, the tree has not been grown, and the believing has not been there. So we have believed that we were worms in the dust, that we just got to hope that the government gives us something and so forth and so on, and compromise this and so forth. We don't have to do that. I said we don't have to do that. If we don't like the way the law is written, we can change it. We can pray and take one down and put another one up. Now, I'm saying this time for a weak church, a timid church, just like he said, those days are over. It's going to come a time now that you're going to be godly proud to be a Christian. Somebody say, who are you? I'm a Christian. That's who I am. I'm telling you, it's going to be the most popular thing in town. It ain't going to be no more hiding behind the thing. Praise the Lord. No, no, no. We're going to come out of the closet. Everybody else coming out. Am I right about it? But when they see the power, they will submit. See, they need performance, and we're trying to do it without any power. You can't talk your way into this, because the devil can out-talk you. You're going to have to demonstrate. You're going to have to show them, bring the person in here, and they're going to leave, and they're going to have what they had when they came in here. They're going to leave without it. This man used to preach, and Wigglesworth and them used to preach, and this is what they'll say. Come to a meeting. Before they start the meeting, they said, okay, if I preach and you don't see notable miracles, don't believe a word I said. Boy, that's putting it on the line, isn't it? Oh, yeah. It's right in here. It's our belief system, our image, and so forth. We got to get that old one out and get that new one in, because God has sent us here to reign in this earth. Watch this. As kings. That means no more taxes. Now, wait a minute. Let me clear that up. See, somebody... Y'all going to town on that. Let me clear that up. Yeah, let me clear it up. You pay taxes, but you don't pay them. You believe God for the money to pay for. You get the money from the fish's mouth and pay the tax. Y'all follow what I'm saying on that? Y'all with me, aren't you? Now, this is tough talk I'm doing now. I'm telling you, because I'm talking about coming up to God's level. I'm coming up to a place where you can speak stuff into existence. You can decree a thing and it shall be established. This is our time, saints. All right, now, let's look at this moving ahead, because again, we're talking about taking ownership. And this is more than a word. It's an image that you have to have. That I want to take ownership of something. Now, God gave them the promised land. Now, when he gave them that promised land, the first group that he gave didn't go in. One of the reasons why they didn't go in is because of what the preachers, the leaders, preached. They said, well, the giants are there, the walls are tall, so forth and so on, we can't take it. Matter of fact, in their own sight, we're as grasshoppers, so we're in their sight. So now, two of them said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it. Now that tells me the only people that went and took over that promised land were Joshua and Caleb and the next generation. Okay? All this other generation was so full of unbelief, let them stay where they were. Now I want you to see something. Now, this is, I'm not doing this to upset anybody, but I want you to see it because it's in the Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Taking ownership. Look what it says here. Moreover, brother, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. Now, how many of you know you're supposed to pay your taxes? Don't go out here and say, Pastor Winston said, don't pay no taxes. I said, believe God for it. Are y'all with me now? So don't. All right. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud, in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was who? Christ. But with many of them, God was not what? Well pleased. For they were what? Overthrown where? In the wilderness. Now, God was not pleased. Now, why was God not pleased with them? Because of their unbelief. Now, did he plan for them to take the land of Canaan? Did that bunch do it?
No.
And it goes on down and tells you some of the reasons why. You can read that on your own. But here's what I'm telling you. Now this may be a little tough, but that's all right. I can handle it. When God gives us a possession, he expects us to possess it. It dishonors God not to possess it. And he has placed enough potential in us to take dominion over this earth. He has taken the limits off and given us a mandate to dominate the world. That's a mandate that we have, to dominate this world. Now, the way you're going to inherit it is by faith. Now, let's look and see what he told Joshua. Now, I'm only saying this because God has planned for the church to take control over this demon-driven economy. I ain't gonna do nothing but preach this. You can take it what you want it. I believe it, I receive it, and I'm gonna act on it, and I'm gonna see it happen. I'm telling you, folks, that they didn't have, when I began, before you can own it outside, you gotta own it inside. You can't take possession outside. You can't see these things because the enemy has done such a job in trying to keep us as consumers. See? And all the time, you're supposed to have the manufacturing plant. Say amen to that. And God helps you with that. He helps you to acquire it, and then you have to work also to retain it. Your retention is a problem. I mean, he'll help you to get the man, but you're going to have to help keep your marriage. Come on now. Come on. See, I'm saying somewhere we got to take ownership. When faith has really engaged, y'all with me, say with me. When it's really engaged, then no longer are you holding on to it. But it's got hold of you. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying when you are really in faith, you are not scared. You're no longer timid about it. You come on now. You have said, I believe I've received, and you believe you have received, and you're no longer, come on now. There was a place in this mall when it shifted. See, God told Joshua. He said, now, Joshua, this is the way you're going to take the land. This is the way you're going to do it. Put it up there, please. Joshua chapter 1. Now, y'all just, I got 2 minutes, 34 seconds. And y'all just let me talk here now. Because I'm breaking down some old images inside of you. Because you've been without ownership long enough. Yes. Not when he says, I've given you cities. Yes. Not when he says, I've given you houses. Yes. Folks, all these houses and come on the market now? Man, you should be owning about 36 of them and just renting them out. Come on now. Because you're the lender, not the borrower. Come on. You're the head, not the tail. He's trying to transfer it over into your hands, but you can't be saying, I can't afford that. When you loose words like that, because of how you're made now, you just block the door to any miracle happening that will cause you to come into the inheritance that God has for you. You can't say that. He wasn't well pleased with them. They sat up there and said, we cannot take that. Now, in the natural, they couldn't. They were not as big as those giants. They didn't know how to get past those walls and so forth, and they weren't skilled in war. So they, in the natural, they couldn't. But he wanted them to do one thing. Say it. I am well able to possess it. That's all he wanted them to say. Just give him some room to work. Just say it. Just say it. Just say it, man. Just say it. Just say it. You are designed to say it. Are you following what I'm saying here? So in this, when I'm saying this time that we're in right now, I think some things are happening. I think God is freeing some stuff up, and I think so forth. But I think the saints of God starting to get timid again, starting to draw back and say, wait a minute, how is this going to happen? I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know whether it's coming down rows he's coming down First Avenue, whether he's coming from downtown or New York, what I do know is that he's going to show up. If I've got my faith on the line, God's got to answer my faith. He's obligated. Sit down now. Let me demonstrate you. All right, look at that. Put it up on the board there. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Don't speak nothing else. Don't speak nothing except what God has said. I said, don't speak anything except what God has said. For thou shalt meditate therein how long? Day and night. Now, this loses a lot of saints because they ain't got time to meditate. They got to go to work. Now, my point to you is that if you can meditate right, you can own the company. If you can meditate right, you can bring. Now, I'm not saying don't go to work or be late. I'm just saying you can meditate a scripture while you're just driving. You can just meditate that scripture. Just ponder it. Just think about it. Just say it over and over a little bit, so forth and so on. But that's where I'm doing. And that's what I had to do to get this property right here. He gave me, I said, Lord, how do I get it? He said, because I looked at it and it's too big. Well, when it's too big, I was watchful. I didn't say, you know, it's too big or anything. I sent one of our people over there. I said, go over there and check it out. You in construction, tell me, is this something that we can possess as a church, something we can do? He goes there and check it out. And then he comes back and tells me, Pastor, we can get it. We can get that little piece right down on the east end. We can buy that. I said, man, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the whole mall. Whole mall. Oh, man. Oh, Pastor. Shift. 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 You got the shift going into third. Come on. Going into fourth. You got to keep shifting. Because there are people that may not see it the way you see it. I'm not saying treat them bad or toss them aside. My point to you is I can't let you hold me because you're trying to get me to line up through what somebody else has done in your series of experiences. I'm not dealing with your experiences. I'm dealing with the promises of God, which if you look at them right, every one of them is impossible. At that scripture, and it says, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now, that's your kids. That's your kids. Now, you might have them running all over the place now, smoking, reefing, crazy, acting crazy, but you say, hey, wait a minute, I got a promise here. I got part of my inheritance is my seed going to be delivered. This is part. Are you following what I'm saying? You don't know how, but you do know one thing. You that is faithful to do it. That's what I'm talking about. And when you sit down, when faith is working for you, your attitude is different. Your countenance is no longer sad. Say amen to that. And can't nothing shake you. Say amen to that. Oh, I'm telling you, I didn't mean to preach like this, but somebody here came for the word of God. And you try to disqualify yourself if you want to. You try to sell God, I'm too old, and see what he says. You try to tell him I'm too young. You try to tell him I've been in jail. You try to tell him I've been so and so and see what he says. He's still going to call you according to what he said. I call you a mighty man of valor. I call you a woman of valor. Say amen to that. And whatever he called you, he can make it come to pass. All you got to do is do what he said. It makes no difference, folks. This is the good news. And this is what people who are walking in the intellect don't want to tell you because they don't see how God is going to do that. But God takes the foolish things. I said, God takes the foolish things. See, he is the only one that can originate. See, he can take you and let's say a person's mind been blown on cocaine. I mean, emptied on cocaine, on fire. And the person been out there as an addict for 20 years. We have had them go down in that pool in Jesus' name. That name got to be used now. And come up and never have to go to a 10-step program, never have to go to a clinic, never have to go for withdrawals, never have to do anything. Walk out of that cocaine tree and never look back at cocaine. Because God is an originator. He can touch your son's mind or your daughter's mind, and they couldn't play piano before, and they'll get up the next morning, and I know a person who did this. He prayed one night, God came in, touched his daughter's mind. He got up in the morning, heard somebody down there playing concert piano, and looked down there, and it was his daughter, and she ain't never took a piano lesson. Let's stop trying to bring God down to our level and let's take us up to God's level, because he's ready for you to walk with him, to talk with him, to think like him, to act like him, to behave like him, to dream like him. Now, I didn't mean to preach like this, but somebody needs this, because you're still trying to put limits on yourself because you're looking at that old picture that they painted for you back there when they told you you were not going to make it. I got news for you. Not only are you going to make it, but you're going to make it big time. Your name going to be in the paper, and I ain't talking about no scandal. Your name gonna be like Joseph's name, raised up in a place. See, I'm not gonna let you come in here and me dog you out about this or about that. I know you got some habits and things you're trying to deal with, but God is continuing to move in your life, and the proof of that is that you're in here today. Say amen to that. We're going to have you looking at such good stuff, the bad stuff going to fall off your life like unwanted relatives. Now, sit down. This is your time. This is the set time for God's favor on your life. And I'm telling you, I'm pulling for you. I'm praying for you. I'm believing God for you. I'm not going to back off, because I'm gonna preach to you like you already there. So look at Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into your hands Jericho, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. He didn't even have nothing to fight with. He wasn't trained in war. But when God says it, take it to the bank.
Yes. Yes.
It don't get no better than that. And that's what happens when you meditate. You meditate long enough, and you'll hear his voice. And this is what he'll say. See, I have given into your hands this new house, this healing, whatever it is. Remember that story that Brother Hagin tells about the man, and he had this hot air balloon, and they were all holding the ropes on the hot air balloon, and all of a sudden, a gush of wind came and lifted that hot air balloon up off the surface of the earth, and some of them held on, some of them let go immediately. The others held on and got up around 20 or 30 or 40, 50 feet and fell and died. But there was one man that held the rope. The balloon began to move from one place to another. They got in their automobiles and ambulance and began to chase the balloon. And pretty soon, after about 15, 20 minutes, the balloon began to start coming down. And after it got low enough that they can catch the man, they grabbed him and put him on a gurney, going to put him in the ambulance. And he said, wait a minute, what are you doing? They said, we're going to take it to the hospital. Why are you taking me? He said, aren't you hurt? He said, no. They said, well, wait a minute. You held that rope all that time. He said, no, I didn't. He said, you see, when I got up so high, I said, now why am I holding the rope? Why don't I just wrap the rope around me and let the rope hold me? And let me tell you, when that shift comes, you'll know it because you're not holding the rope any longer. Give the Lord a praise because the rope has hold of you. The promise will possess you. All right, praise God. God bless you. All right, now, if you will, I need to call for people who need to get born again. So it might be some people here today, your life, you know it's not right with God. But you heard something here that encouraged your heart. And I'm just asking you one thing. He said, when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. So if you're here today and you know that God is speaking to your heart about being born again, I want the privilege of being able to pray for you right now. And if you'd like me to do that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a step of faith for me. I'm not asking you to join the church. You can do that today if you want to. I'm asking you today to give your life to Jesus, because your turnaround starts with you giving your life to him. So if you would like to do that, I want to pray with you right now. If you'd like me to do that, here's what I want you to do. Be bold about it. Don't be timid. Don't let nobody stop you. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me at the altar right now.